Right, you are welcome to the Bold Christian Ministry once again. If you are joining us, of course, the mandate is to proclaim the love of God and the hope of eternal life through the gospel and faith of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us to keep in mind that it's important that we abide in God's word. We study God's word at our own personal time, so as to be able to always walk in that consciousness. Paul the apostle told his son Timothy to always ensure that he search through the scripture, that he reads through the scriptures all the time. So study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus Christ also encourages disciples, those who are following him, to search the scripture all the time. So it's important that we equip ourselves so that we will be able to withstand the heat of the last days, and we will not be taken away by those things that may want to preoccupy our mind. It's important that the word of God, we keep the word of God and we keep in our hearts and we keep meditating on the word of God day and night. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Today on the Bible study, we will be looking at a very critical subject which points to our Christian faith, as to the how our faith got engineered and how we are supposed to project our lives, and how we are supposed to walk with God, and what are the things that aids our walk with God. Perhaps you've seen in the flyer, and what we'll be talking about is living by the Spirit of God. Living by the Spirit of God. Living by the Spirit of God. Of course, with everyday living comes, every day comes with its own challenges, and we will discover that as each day passes by, the challenge for today is different from tomorrow. No day does not have its own challenge. Every day has its own challenge. But how do we overcome the challenges of each day, no matter how overwhelming they are? That's the purpose of today's Bible study. And we'll be looking at a few scriptures, basically. And from there, we'll move on. At first, our scripture we'll be looking at is in Romans chapter 8, the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 in verse 14. Romans 8, 14. I'll read from here. Romans 8, 14. Now it says there, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in other words, Paul the Apostle wrote an open letter to the saints which are at Rome, to the churches at Rome. It was an open letter to all the churches at Rome, all the brethren at Rome, and reminding them that as many that are led, so not everybody is led by the Spirit of God. So we cannot say that they are the sons of God. So you can basically judge the conversation and how they relate with one another to really tell this one is from God, this one is not from God. So the only way to identify someone that speaks the mind of God, that obey God's commandments, that is conscious of the fact that he has an indwelling of the Spirit of God in them, is that there's a pointer. They are led by the Spirit of God. And there are so many scriptures that talks about being led of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ, before he went into the wilderness, the Bible said the Spirit of God led him. He was led into the wilderness. He was driven by the Spirit of God that it's time for you to go into the wilderness. So, and there are so many, you see the life of Philip when he met the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of God told him, go join thyself to these chariots. And then he found the Ethiopian eunuch reading the scriptures, and he was confused while reading the scripture. But Philip was led by the Spirit of God. And there are so many other scripture that talks about being led of the Spirit of God. Even in our own lives, we can really tell if we are led, if it's God that is speaking through His Holy Spirit to us, or if it's another voice that we are hearing, and we can discern from both, because the more you spend time obeying the Spirit of God, you will be, it's like walking with your boss in the office, or you have a friend that you closely work with. If somebody is trying to impersonate, trying to act as a friend on the phone, or trying to write you an email using something similar to your friend's email, you can, because you've been receiving emails from your friend all the time, or because you've been having a phone conversation, if the person tried to doctor that voice of your friend, you can tell, right? Because you spend time and you know your friend's voice. Nobody can impersonate your father's voice to you. Nobody can do that. Nobody can impersonate your husband's voice to you. Nobody can impersonate my wife's voice and say, this is my wife that is talking on the phone. I can't. There's no way. I sent emails. When you send email, I mean text messages, there's a kind of way that you communicate with your husband, with your maybe your siblings. There is a way if you are frequenting chatting or communicating on the phone or via text messages, there's a way the communication looks like. If I send my wife an email, I mean a text message, she knows how I compose my text message, because we sent messages from time to time. We send text messages from time to time. If my wife sent me text messages, I know how she composed a text message. Even if you try to frame it in a way, I know it cannot be, and you're trying to pretend as to be my. So the more you spend time with the Spirit of God, the more you know how He communicates with you. Even if you have a dream, and then if it's God that is trying to speak to you, you know how God speaks to you. You know how to hear the voice of God. You know when this is not the voice of God, this is something else. You can easily tell. So you have a way of discerning. But if you have not been able to obey the Spirit of God, so many times He speaks to you, it will be hard for you to be led or to live by the Spirit of God. There are certain instructions the Holy Spirit will give to a man. If a man has not been obedient in the little things, there is no way he will be able to discern if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to exercise some other things, or to go into some other matters, or to act in some kind of ways that will be beneficial to you. So that's what the Bible, Paul the Apostle was telling the brethren which are at Rome, to all the churches at Rome. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We understand that in a country, I'm just trying to give us a background of how the kingdom works. The kingdom of heaven operates under a government, and the head of the government is God. And within this Godhead, there are other personalities that co-inherit with God in order to make the things that we all see today. So God has a council, He has a will of His own, and He has a council. So in a country, for instance, so the kingdom of heaven operates under a government. That is a different country entirely. It's a different government. So you remember in the book of Isaiah, where it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful," talking about the person of Jesus. Now, in a country is regulated by a constitution, a state has its own law, a local government operates by bylaws, and likewise a council as well, operate by law. A home is regulated by rules and regulation. You go into people's home, they have rules and regulation, they have do's and don'ts, as the case is. But the kingdom of heaven is regulated by divine laws and commandments. So I will still need to refresh us on that same note. But one of these, the Trinity, that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the Trinity occupies the a position of a chief integrity officer in person of the Holy Spirit. I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So whatever we do, for instance, if you go outside to a store, someone speak badly to you and you responded in a way that is not okay, and you claim to be someone that possesses, that has the Spirit of God inside of you, but your response at that point is not in synchronism with how the Spirit of God wants you to respond, the chief integrity officer will come and then try to tell you that what you just, the comments you just passed right now is not okay. And then you can bring all your arguments, but it still does not validate the fact that what you just said is to the person is not okay. It still doesn't change that. So what I'm saying in essence is that the Spirit of God is there to guide our everyday living. We can, once you accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, your life, there's a regulator. The Holy Spirit he comes to regulate, to put in balance things that are not balanced, things that are not okay. He comes to regulate your life. The reason why we all come to Jesus is because we want to live a life that is perfect, a perfect life as God is perfect. We want to live a perfect life. We don't just want to live today, we are lying, tomorrow we are, you know, stealing, next tomorrow we are, you know, it's not, we want to live a life free of sin. That is the reason why, that's the purpose of Jesus coming into the world, to save us from our sins, all our iniquities, all our imperfection, everything, to take all that away and to give us a newness of life. And the education that comes with a newness of life is being pioneered by the educationist, which is the chief integrity officer of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is there to guide us on how to live the life that God intended man to live right from the beginning. So that is the reason why, that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He's a regulator, he's the chief integrity officer. He comes, he plays the executive arm of the government of God. He puts in check, he comes to execute those things so that you'll be able to see where you stand in the lens of God. You'll be able to see, okay, this is where I stand, this is where I am, okay, this is what I need to adjust, this is what I need to do, this is what I need to correct, this is what is expected of me. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's the main reason why we are to be led and to live by the Spirit of God. No man that is born today, you remember the book of the beginning, in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve after being given commandments by God that they should not eat the fruit, they went and took the fruit and then sinned against God. Before then, God's intention was to educate them about kingdom lifestyle, to make them understand this is how the kingdom operates. This is what you must do. This is what you must do. And this is what you must do. So giving them that commandment, they went against that law. They had everything in the garden. They had everything to themselves. But then the tempter came, tempted them, and then they fell, and then they sinned against, they disobeyed God. And what God does not like disobedience. That's the reason why the spirit of we as Christians are supposed to live by the Spirit of God. So before you take a decision, you are supposed to check with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, this decision I want to take, what do you think about it? So even though you halter in prayer, this is I feel it's time to move. What do you think? If you really pay close attention, the Holy Spirit will either show you something, tell you something, or whisper to you, or give you something for you to be able to, if you really give the Spirit of God time to be able to, because if you take a decision without inquiring from the Spirit of God, a man will suffer for it. That's why in this kingdom, we need to stay in balance by the Spirit. We need to stay in balance by the Spirit of God. We need to be in synchronism with the mind and the will of God for our lives. So it's important that we understand the person of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, where we just read, the Holy Spirit means a lot of things to us. And it tells us the personality, it describes the personality of the Holy Spirit in different passages of Scripture. What the Holy Spirit has come to do in our lives and how is God has sent the... In fact, if we as Christians, if we as saints who are awaiting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't have the... If Jesus did not send the Comforter to us, I don't know how our life would have been by now. Because there's no way for us to know what is obtained, how it is obtained, where do we step on? Because the earth is full of landmines, and you can put your leg somewhere and then you can, another 5 years, you can be suffering. Another 10 years is suffering. Another 2 years, and then for the next 6 months, if the person of the Holy Spirit is not with us and is not in us. So the Holy Spirit leads us. He leads for as many that are led. The flesh of a man is capable of going ahead of the Holy Spirit. Even when the Spirit of God is saying, no, he's prompting you, no, don't take this step. No, this step is not good for you. This is a man's flesh will always. And for you to know how serious the flesh can prescribe things to you, the flesh has prescribed a lot of things to people and then has led them astray because of their response to the flesh. The Bible talks of Paul the Apostle talks about the flesh and the spirit warring against, they are in contention with each other. You walk into the office, someone just looked at you as if you don't even exist. And then the first responder is your flesh. But the Spirit of God is saying, calm down. Don't say anything. Or perhaps before you woke up, you've already seen that the Spirit of God has warned you of a lot of things that will happen during the day. He has given you an hint of the troublemakers that will come your way. That is being led, living by the Spirit of God, because you have been educated before you even step out of the house. So it's better to keep quiet. Whatever happened that day, just say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It doesn't make you a fool, but it helps you to take custody. How do you know him? How do you know that you are matured in faith? How do you know that you are perfect in the Lord? The Bible says he that is able to, the book of James talks about someone that can bridle. If you are able to bridle your tongue, you can bridle your whole body. And the same is a perfect man. If you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle every, you can put everything in order on your body. If the tongue can be bridled, there's nothing that cannot be bridled on your body. And that same person is a perfect man. When Jesus Christ lived, he never sinned. He never sinned. And because he was able to bridle his tongue, even when they slapped him, he was just looking. He was just looking. I didn't see anything wrong. Why did you slap me? He never sinned. Why? He was able to bridle by the Spirit of God. So he leads us. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. The Spirit of God led Philip, and he led so many people in the Bible. He guides us into all truth. In John 16, 13, he guides. He is the one that guides you into the truth, into the different aspect of truth. He said, no, this one is wrong. This one is right. Or no, if you do this one, you sin against God. And you don't want to do that because that's not good. Okay. And he prayed for us. That's what the Spirit of God does. That's the Spirit of God, living by the Spirit of God. Well, if you want to live by the Spirit of God, you need to understand the functionalities and those things that the Holy Spirit helps us to accomplish as believers, as Christians. He prayed for us. He helps our infirmity with groanings. In Romans 8:26. He inspires us. He's the one that inspires. It comes. Perhaps you are thinking about how to solve a problem, how to solve a situation. You have a project you are supposed to make presentation about. You have different things that are coming your way, and you now submit. You say, Holy Spirit, I'm helpless. Can you help me? Can you inspire me? And then you begin to pray. You begin to sing song. And then it begins to inspire you. Why don't you put in this? Why don't you add this one? Why don't you do this? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he inspires us. It's the Holy Spirit that inspires men to write the things that we read today from the Bible. Most of all the passages in the New Testament, it comes through an inspiration. Inspiration. So he inspires us. That's what the Spirit of God does. He bears witness with our spirits. He is the one that bears witness. How do you know a man is born again? How do you know? I remember when I gave my life to Christ. Some strange things. I started observing some my dreams, the kind of dreams I used to have then. I don't used to have them again. It was new. They were new. They were things I was a lot of, I now knew. That was when I knew something had changed. It happened when I was in my dream, and then physically too. People started looking at me. Some things I used to say, some things I used to do, I can't say them. Even though I want to utter them, something will say, hey, newness of life, you are born again now. You can't say those things. Some friends I used to work with, I cut them off. I didn't even when they came to look for me, I told them I'm a born again Christian now. I can't be doing all that again. And that day, that ended everything. They didn't come back again. When I see them outside, I say hello to them. Yes, we still see each other on the streets. We see hello and all that, but that's just the end of it. So it bears witness with our spirit. And then in our everyday life, it convinced us of our wrong. That's in John 16, verse 8. He brings conviction. When you do something wrong, is a capital no. He will just, and you can bring all your strong reason and evidences, he still, what you did is wrong. That's the Holy Spirit. He will register his disinterest in what you just did. That's a person of the Holy Spirit. He reproves the word of sin. He comes to tell us that this lifetime we are living is against God's commandments, is against God's law. He will give you facts and he will present it to you. So it's important that we understand who we are in the kingdom of heaven. And it is important that we understand that living by the Spirit of God is the best thing that can happen to us. When a man begins to live by the Spirit of God, you will not be common. You will not be, no, you will not be. There are times you want to go out, the Spirit of God may tell you, for the next 3 days, stay at home. I want you to worship God. Or for the next 3 days, and then you can even come in the middle of the night and wake you up around 1 o'clock and say, it's time to pray. And then you will just go. And then the same thing happens to me tomorrow, 3 days, and then you start praying, you start praying. He guides you. He knows, he won't tell you why you have to pray. But he may tell you, but sometimes he may not. The Spirit of God may not tell you the reason, but most of the time, sometimes he tells, sometimes he doesn't tell, he doesn't reveal. He will just tell you because he understands that if he tells you to pray, it's for your own advantage. So even if he doesn't tell you the reason why you should pray, he still doesn't, still pray. Still pray, whether he tells you or not, whether he tells you the reason why you should pray or not, you should know that it's for your own good. Still pray. So it guides us, the everyday living, our daily living must be by the Spirit of God. The reason is because no man that walks in the flesh fulfill God's purpose for their lives. No man that walks in the flesh fulfill God's purpose for their lives. Nobody that walks in the flesh. The flesh will always demand for so many things. The flesh always, he likes to violate laws. He likes to do things that are against God's law. He likes to, the flesh has so many things that it craves for. Most of the time, when you say you want to take a fast now, you say, I want to fast today. The flesh will say, no. They are selling a burger. You know that Wendy's burger, or what is the name of the burger? There is $3 something now. So, you know, before it used to be $8. So, buy three. At least that will serve you this afternoon. What do you think? He will prescribe to you. He said, you want to fast today. That you got, that strawberry you got in the fridge. So, what will happen to that straw? You took one yesterday. Why don't you want to take one today? You see why the Bible says the flesh and the spirit, they is a war, is a spiritual war. You may not see the war, but it's war, is war. The flesh wants you, once your enemy offends you, he wants you to either destroy your enemy or something, but the Spirit of God wants you to spare your enemy. To say, no, don't destroy your enemy. That's not the purpose of God. That's not the purpose of God. The flesh wants you to violate the laws of God. It wants you to do things contrary to the will of God for your life. He wants you to look at somebody that spoke to you in the afternoon and say, this one, maybe you're a lecturer at the university, or you will look for a way. The person is supposed to score maybe 70 over 100. You say, no, I will reduce it by 10. By all, this guy must go down. That's the flesh. That's why if any offense happens, the first responder is the flesh. The first responder. Just in case of any emergency, there are first responders. In case of any emergency, maybe the nurse, maybe the doctor, they are first aid, there is a first responder. But in case of the our life as a Christian. The first responder is if the flesh will always want, he likes to make noise, he likes to shake, he likes to. That's the way it is. So God wants us to walk in the consciousness of the fact that we are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. So we should walk in that consciousness. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The question is, what has been leading us as believers today, as Christians today? If we look at our personal life, a person who does not act in accordance to the commandments of God and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit will operate in the flesh on earth, and that kind of person will be an illegal citizen under the government of God and will be considered a fugitive by God. Will be considered a fugitive. You remember in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus Christ said, let me look for that passage here. Oh, John chapter 10, verse 1, rather. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other ways. That's the flesh. The flesh will say, no, don't go through the process. Just, you can jump the fence. It's still the same queue that we want to, we are queuing. So you can sneak in, and then you don't want to go to the back to line and say, let I can just force my way in. That person is not abiding by the rules. So there's a reason why the Holy Spirit is here to guide us, so that we will not be misled by Satan. We will not do things contrary to the laws of God, and our life will be shaped. We will live a perfect life like God. Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit of God. That's the reason why he never sinned. He did not commit any sin. You can't find no sin in him. That was the reason why he was able to resurrect. No sin in him. Because why? He was led by the Spirit of God. I pray God will help us to be led by his Spirit at all times in Jesus' name. And if by any means the Holy Spirit has been educating us about some matters, and then we feel our own option is better, it is important that we allow the Holy Spirit to take his course in our lives. And I pray that as we do so, God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads as we pray together. I want us to commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord, that the word of God that has come to us today, the Spirit of God will expand it more in our hearts in the name of Jesus. And perhaps if there is any way we've violated some laws and we've gone against the Spirit of God, that God will show mercy on us and will help us to retrace back our steps, so that we can start afresh with him again in obeying his will, in obeying his commandments, in walking with him, in walking perfectly with him. And the grace of the Lord will be, let's ask for grace, that the grace of the Lord will be poured upon our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Righteous God, we thank you, bless your name. I will pray that, Lord, you help us in Jesus' name. As men that are changing and are repenting, Lord, I pray that you will help them. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word that has come to us today, living by the Spirit of God. We want to be led by your Spirit in everything we do. Oh God, we pray that you will help us, O Lord, to obey your Holy Spirit as we are prompted, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, not to be disobedient to your Spirit. Help us, O Lord, not to be disobedient to you. We pray that the grace to be the doer of your word and not the hearers only, grant unto us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that in everything we do, help us to acknowledge your presence in our lives in Jesus' name. Help us to inquire from you at all times before we take decisions that will affect our walk with you and that will affect our lives and those around us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, we ask you, O God, that as we go about today's activity, let your presence abide with us in Jesus' name. From this day, help us, O Lord, to live by your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for we know it is done. Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.